With encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, this is Abounding Grace. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, our chance to get together for a few minutes each and every day that we might be encouraged in Christ. Now, won't you take a moment and join us? We're brought to you in part through the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Here now is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, we thank you for joining us on this Thursday session of Abounding Grace. We're completing our study today in Philippians chapter 3 and looking at these two kinds of righteousness here that the Apostle Paul outlines for us. And we've been looking at this past week, looking at the kind of righteousness that seeks to gain its way and ascendancy to heaven through good works, through a confidence in the flesh. We outline three different types of people in this world: the hedonist, whose goal is to pursue pleasure; the moralist, who sets up some kind of objective standard by which he thinks that he is living a moral life and will earn his way into heaven; and then the person who is even religious, who puts his confidence in the outward externals of religion without Christ, without a believing in him. And while the things that the Lord has appointed are very important in the life of his church, without faith, without trust and confidence in Jesus, all the externals we do mean nothing. And so one must believe in Christ. And that's where the Apostle Paul took us, to show us that in Christ, God has provided this righteousness by which, when we believe in Jesus, is imputed to our account, by which we are received and accepted before the throne room of in heaven. Having all of our slate wiped clean and reckoned this perfect righteousness, this spotless righteousness that comes through the life of Christ as he came to this world and as he lived and walked perfectly in his active obedience, keeping the law at every point so that it would be imputed to our account too by faith. And then, of course, is passive obedience and removing the curse upon us by going to the cross and laying down his life willingly for us. All of that is reckoned to our account when we believe. And so the Apostle Paul has outlined these two systems of righteousness: one that trusts in the self and one that looks and embraces and leans upon Jesus alone for the righteousness that God will accept. And Paul is saying this today. Paul had put all of his confidence at one point in all of his religious duties and all of these things that he had, but he did not have Christ. But once he had become and recognized that this righteousness that God provides in Christ is the only righteousness that God will accept, this became the gaining and the pursuit of his whole life to gain Jesus Christ, to seek after him. Now that he had obtained this justified status in Christ, that he was declared righteous. And Paul is saying that must be true of you too. You have seen that one can be a hedonist, a moralist, and even a religionist, and yet be without this inner transformation, without the life that Paul is here describing, that he sees as a reality for every Christian. And so the question that comes before us today is, have we sought to establish our own righteousness without coming to recognize that we need, as Martin Luther once said, an alien righteousness, a righteousness that is not our own for us to be right with God? And Paul says this here. He holds out a sort of ledger, and he says, "In all of these things that brought confidence in my flesh, I count them as loss for the gaining of Christ." Listen to Philippians 3, verse 8. "Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for literally the exceeding greatness of knowing Jesus Christ," or "Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." And this is almost vulgarity. The word for rubbish means some sort of excrement, often the foul, sick, smelling garbage that sits in a can for a long time that can be thrown to the dogs, or even literally some form of excrement. "What I put my confidence in," Paul said, "what I did, I now count as excrement, for instead the gaining of the knowledge of Jesus Christ." Isn't that beautiful? A gaining of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, an intimate, glorious way, not a professing simply of facts, but a growing with those facts and an understanding of those truths so as to know this Christ more and more, that you would gain him. And verse 9 says, to be found in him, not having the righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And so do you see what he's saying? The kind of joy he's calling you to is a joy that understands what your position is in Jesus. That no longer are you tied to this world and to its system. No longer do you belong to the kind of righteousness that this world is trying to produce before God. No one can. All are sinners and all are under the curse of the law and will face judgment if they are pursuing that kind of righteousness. But it's a deep and profound understanding that you have been given a righteousness imputed to your very account by faith that is Christ's righteousness. And that God has provided this for you by faith as you receive these things with a believing heart in this Jesus. And when you understand this, you begin a lifelong grasping of the very one who has already grasped you, that has already laid hold of your life. And that changes your entire outlook about everything. And he says this in verse 11, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Before I said, I'm a pretty good person who will enter heaven by my works. Now I say I'm a wretched sinner saved by grace. So I'm outlining now these two types of people in this world with each different righteousness. Before, I would come to worship thinking, I'm a pretty good person. I'd bring my own righteousness to church. Today, I come covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, understanding that I am justified today and am as justified as I will be 10,000 years from now in Christ. Before, my life was lived for the self and its enjoyments. A practical hedonist I was. Today I live with the goal that whether I live or die, Christ will be magnified in my body, and he will complete his work in me for his glory. Yesterday I sought strength in the works of my hands. Today I seek power in his glorious resurrection. Yesterday I lived in fear of death. I lived wondering if God would accept me on that day. Today I live knowing that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Because of the confidence that I have in Christ, I know I have this righteousness that is from God and that I am accepted even now. Yesterday I lived thinking that suffering and pains were simply things to beat, to get by, as great evils in my life. Today I live knowing that as a believer, I'm a partaker of his sufferings, Jesus' sufferings, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his very death. Therefore, I can rejoice in the Lord, knowing that his life is being revealed in me. Yesterday I lived for the day, eating and drinking, being merry, but today I live in Christ. I live for Christ, awaiting the glory of what is to come. My actions, my thoughts, my desires are oriented to the future resurrection from the dead, knowing that I belong with my resurrected Christ. My friends, that is the Christian life. Do you know what I've just described today? Do you? Do you hear the kind of Christianity that Paul is describing? A gaining of Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death? Jesus for us went from riches to rags. And so our way then is to rejoice to the extent that we partake in the sufferings of Christ because we've gained that which is most important. William James, the great philosopher, once said, in the religion camp, there are two kinds of people, the healthy-minded and the morbid-minded, the sick soul, as he said. Sadly, the American church has chosen to go with the healthy-minded. Just head down to the average evangelical megachurch. You'll see this. The average American church has gone with the healthy-minded view. Enough of this sin stuff. Enough of the morbid emphasis on failure, sin and the fall. Man is good. So then pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and we'll have the prosperous life that God intends. Well, as Michael Horton once described, a great delusion has occurred. Christians today cannot deal with sickness, death, evil, depression, fear, anxiety. And so we are on this pursuit not of gaining Christ, but of gaining happiness. happiness in the sense of almost hedonism, fulfilling my own pleasures. And anything not in a correlation to our happiness, we live in denial towards. Years ago, when a loved one died, you know what the Puritans did? They would put the dead body of the loved one in their living rooms, open the casket, and they would teach their children about death, about the need for Jesus. Ministers would ask people, "Are you ready for death?" Today, we're in denial. We once had funerals, now there are memorial services, and now there are celebrations of one's life without the body. As Horton says, when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. The kind of Christianity I'm seeing today and we are all tempted with is an endless pursuit of happiness, not Christian joy. My friends, we must be the sin-sick soul, because then we're ready to be lifted up by Christ, receive a righteousness that God accepts, pursue a life that really matters in gaining Christ, not earthly things. And in all things, good and bad, we become able to rejoice in the Lord, because through the pain is the inward joy that Christ and His righteousness is ours and that we are really saved. Are you today saved? Do you know this Jesus? Do you have this righteousness that has been described to you this week? Well, if not, then down with your strongholds, my friends. May everything today be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That only comes when you come to know and believe in this Jesus and receive the only righteousness that the Father accepts, the life and death of His dear Son, and all of His perfections reckoned to your account by faith. Go forth then, if you believe in this Jesus today, laying hold of all the more this Jesus, knowing with joyful hearts that His grace has laid a hold of you. Then you will know what it means to live in the joy of this comfort and what it means to belong to Jesus Christ. Well, my friends, it's no surprise to us that the day is short. The time is at hand. Jesus could be here at any moment. And then you will have to give an account for your life if you are not found in Him and have not believed in Him. Believe in this Savior today. Come to know Him. And the way that you come to know Him is through the means that He has chosen, the means of grace, the preaching of the Word. Visit us this Sunday at the Linden URC. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are our worship times. You may visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Give us a call, 360-318-0429. Or visit us on the web again at lindenurc.com. We have many resources there for you. Thank you for joining us today. May you have a wonderful weekend. And may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.